We've seen it so many times before, throughout history, in times of heartache, war, political turmoil, and even a global pandemic. It is the artists that promote healing through all the hard we face. My guest today is no different. Welcome to WonderCast, a community collaborative podcast supporting families navigating the complexities of chronic illness or injury. WonderCast is supported by the generous sponsorship of Texas Oncology. Texas Oncology, more breakthroughs, more victories, experts in cancer care. In today's episode, I am joined by independent filmmaker Madison Vanderland as she shares about her documentary, Children of Disease, and the way she explores the impact of parental illness on children by creating open space for communication and the growth of community. This is Madison.
Madison Vanderland. I am the filmmaker behind Children of Disease, a feature-length documentary film. I'm a filmmaker, but I'm also a death doula and hospice worker. And yeah, I first got into kind of death work and helping people who are dying and people who are grieving. I actually first got into it shortly after I finished making Children of Disease. And that was because the experience was so inspiring. And my own experience with my father's illness and his death, it really just felt called to work in that space. I first started working at Vitas Hospice in Los Angeles. And then I moved back to my hometown in upstate New York. And now I'm mostly working with a natural cemetery called Green Springs Natural Cemetery, helping families, you know, say goodbye to their loved ones and take that important step after losing somebody. But yeah, that's kind of what I've been doing now.
Really important work. And I feel like it's something that people don't talk a lot about because I think it makes them feel kind of nervous or uncomfortable. But there is such a beautiful role for death doula. I'm so happy that that's what you have found your calling. And I love that this film kind of helped lead you even more in that direction.
Yeah, it definitely did. I was, you know, I made the film because of my own experience. You know, my dad got diagnosed with cancer when I was 13. And then my mom got diagnosed with two different cancers when I was 14. So, and luckily my mother is cancer free now. She's healthy. But my father did end up dying 8 years later when I was 21. So that inspired me to get into making the film Children of Disease, but Children of Disease itself, the process of making it and releasing it, hearing the feedback from people who watched it, people who could relate to it, that really is what pushed me further into, okay, yeah, this is what I want to do.
That's awesome. Okay, so talk to me a little bit about the film. What led you to do this, your inspiration was, and kind of what that filming process looked like?
Yeah, so I first got the idea for the film, I believe it was 2017. And I got the idea because, you know, at the time I was fresh out of high school, graduated high school in 2015. I moved out to California. I was trying to start college. And at the same time, back home, my father was incredibly sick. He had multiple myeloma. And he had just gone through a stem cell transplant, and he got an infection in one of his legs very shortly after the stem cell transplant. So instead of going back to being healthy and having remission from cancer, which is what you want after a stem cell transplant, he got very, very sick. And he actually almost died the week before my college was supposed to start. My first semester of college was supposed to start. So I'm trying to like be a normal 18-year-old and focus on myself and focus on college and have fun. But at the same time, I'm like, it's not possible because I'm just so terrified all the time. And I was dealing with a lot of mental health stuff in connection to this, you know, severe anxiety. I have OCD. So when I'm in a stress place, small everyday tasks that most people wouldn't even think of are incredibly difficult, if not impossible. So I just was really struggling. Like I was struggling to just function day to day. I was not doing well in school, which is unusual for me. And that's when I was like, okay, I need help. And so I started trying to look for help in any sort of form. I was looking for a therapist who was knowledgeable about this sort of thing. I was looking for a book that I could read to help myself, literally anything.
pretty impressive when you think about it for an 18-year-old to have that self-awareness to be like, I need to find resources. I know myself at 18, I would have been like, I wouldn't even know where to start.
Yeah. It's funny too, because even in the story, you can hear the sort of like parentified child situation that I found myself in, that all children of disease find themselves in, because when your parent's sick, you inevitably grow up really fast in certain ways, and then you kind of fall behind in other ways. So it's like you're really ahead in some ways and really behind in others. And so I couldn't find any help. Long story short, could not find any help. And that was so scary to me. I couldn't believe it. I really couldn't believe it. And that is slowly what led me to, I've got to do something about this. Like, I have to draw, like, I felt invisible. And like my family's pain, my dad's pain with this illness, my mom being his full-time caregiver, and then my sister and myself, I just felt like our struggle was invisible. And I knew, just statistically, there was no way we were the only ones.
Yeah.
So that really led me, that like pushed me into, okay, I'm making this film.
How long did the filming process actually take? From, I guess, inception to cast building and...
Yeah, so making the film took a total of 3 years. And 2 years of that was filming and gathering everything that I needed. Part of what made making the film take so long was that my dad actually died in the middle of me making it.
That's what I was wondering.
Yes. Yeah. So like I said, I got the idea for the film in 2017. I was so passionate about it and like fueled by anger that I immediately got right into it. I started trying to find families across the country that would be willing to share such personal information with me. And even finding those families was very difficult.
How did you find them?
Yeah, it was a combination of things. I put out on every single social media platform, this is what I'm looking for. I got a lot of inquiries from people that misunderstood what I was doing, you know, because children of disease is sort of a play on words for like children of divorce. Some people grow up with parents who get divorced, and some people grow up with a parent who's really sick, you know, or like a parent who died from cancer when they were 12 or, you know, whatever. So it's like a play on words in that way. Some people thought that children of disease means I'm a sick child or I have a sick child, which of course is very important as well to discuss, but not what I was focusing on. And I put out a lot of casting calls on like casting websites. So like one of the women in the film, Evelyn Merrick, I found her through putting out a casting call on actually like a acting website because she's an actor as well. So I found her that way.
That's awesome. And then you did also find some of our Wonders and Worries families, which is incredible. How did you come in contact with them? Just kind of the same process or?
Yeah, so that I found Wonders and Worries just through doing a lot of Googling, a lot of online research. Like I said, I was desperately searching for resources and support for not only myself, but just like, is it out there? You know, like, is there something out there that supports these families and supports these children? And that's how I found Wonders and Worries. I found them online and I reached out to Wonders and Worries and I talked. I think the first person I spoke to was Kim, who is great. Love her.
She's great.
And yeah, and she kind of became my liaison with Wonders and Worries. And she was great to work with. She just like completely threw the Wonders and Worries doors open for me and was like, yes, get in here, film us, you know, check it out, see what we're about. And she was so happy to have, you know, the opportunity to get the word out about what Wonders and Worries does, which was my main goal. But yeah, so I started talking to Kim and Kim put me in contact with some families that were willing to talk to me and be filmed. And she even coordinated for me, you know, the whole last section of the film is footage from Wonders and Worries, from the support groups that they have, you know, for young children who have a sick parent and for young children who have lost a parent. And then also the support groups that they have for the parents that are either sick or the caregiver or whatever the case may be. So she coordinated all of that, let all the parents and the kids know, hey, we're going to have somebody filming. If you're okay with being filmed, then come. If you're not okay, then maybe don't come today. So she really like cleared the path for me to be able to include Wonders and Worries, which like if Wonders and Worries wasn't in the film, I feel like the film would be, it's a tearjerker. It's emotional, but I feel like Wonders and Worries is that hope that we needed at the end of the film to be like, look, there is support for this and there is growth here. We're building something that's so important and it is helping.
Absolutely. And I think it's incredible when you think about children with diseases, childhood illnesses, you have pediatric facilities that are specifically equipped to support them with their ongoing developmental needs, their psychosocial needs, just helping them cope to illness. I feel like you have a really family-centered care approach with parents as well if your child is ill. But when you have an adult ill, a lot of the adult hospitals, until recently, they haven't been equipped to offer support for the kids of those families. And so I feel like there's this growing awareness, and tools like your film really helps shed light on, no, this is a great need. This is an important family-centered approach that we need to take for the whole family.
Yes, exactly. And that was my main, like one of a few main focuses that I had with this film, is just to bring awareness to the issue because it's so overlooked. And like you said, and I believe Meredith also said it, Meredith from Wonders of Worries in the documentary, that, you know, family-centered care when someone is sick often extends to the sick person and maybe the spouse or the caregiver, but sometimes not even that. And it almost never includes the children or any other extended family that might be impacted. And that is so strange to me. Like, I still today can't wrap my mind around that. And so much of what I got out of the film, especially now as a person who works as a death doula, I learned so much from interviewing these families and these children about how to handle these things. You know, I feel like we don't know enough about how to handle these difficult conversations and what's the best way to go about it, especially with children involved. But what I have learned from children of disease is, like, we have to talk to the children. We can't, like, I think so many people I hear so often, like, oh, I'm gonna leave the kids out of it. Or, you know, I don't want to worry the kids. I'm not going to tell them. They know. I believe it was Crystal, who's also amazing at Wonders and Worries, child life specialist. She shared, and I always tell it to people because it's so impactful as a story. But I remember she shared in, and I think it's in the film, that there was a little boy who came to get help at Wonders and Worries. And he said to one of the child life specialists, you know, they're bringing bombs into my home. Why are they bringing bombs into my home? I'm so scared of that these bombs are going to go off. I lay awake at night worried about these bombs. And turns out they were oxygen tanks. They were oxygen tanks because his father had trouble breathing.
Yeah.
As related to his illness. And if somebody had just said, hey, your dad has trouble with this, so this is the medical treatment. This is an oxygen tank. This is how it works. This is why it's here. You don't have to worry about it. It's not scary. You know, do you want to touch it? Do you want to see how, you want to see me use it? You know, demystify what's going on. It's the unknown that's the scary part.
Absolutely. That childlike imagination can just take off. And kids are perceptive to their environments. They notice changes. You're right. So if there is a change and you're not giving the information to support that change, they're going to create their own dialogue about what that change is. And that can be far scarier.
Yes, definitely.
How do you feel like this film should be utilized in the community?
Yes. Yeah, so this was a point of like a lot of anger within myself because I finished the film in 2020. So I finished it in the middle of the pandemic. Like, I was submitting to film festivals from quarantine in my house. So I had big plans for Children of Disease. I wanted to do a community screening campaign, a nationwide community screening campaign. I wanted to travel the country and visit elementary schools, middle schools, high schools, college universities, even like hospitals, hospices, you know, anything that's related to this. I wanted to go there and I wanted to maybe screen the whole film or screen part of the film, have dialogues with people there, talk to people, get the conversation going, just get eyes on the film. Because I knew one of the most valuable things that the film offers is it unites the community of people who have had these experiences or are currently going through something like it. So, like I said, my family, we felt so alone in it. We felt like nobody else was going through the same thing, which is so false, so false. So I think the greatest thing about the film is just bringing people together, making people feel less alone just through watching it. You know, you can, from the comfort of your own home, you can take a break, you can pause it if you need to walk away, you know, because it can be emotional. It can really be a lot, especially if you're still in the middle of whatever your situation is. I did feel like the potential that the film had to be helpful got a little bit stifled through the whole, you know, COVID pandemic, which is, you know, unfortunate. But something that I've done now in an effort to get more people to see the film and get it out there more is I've put it up on YouTube, and now it is completely free to watch. So before, the original release of the film had copywritten music in it. And so I had to, you know, there were certain parameters that I had because I was paying for that copyrighted music and I only had certain rights. But now I've removed the copyrighted music and made it available on YouTube so anybody can look at it. I don't want people to feel like, oh, I can't pay $10 to be able to access this film. So that's something I'm doing since I didn't get to, you know, do my original plan and what kind of shifting. It's out there. Look for it.
And we will link it too in our podcast episode. Great. So we'll link to it because we would love for any of our listeners to be able to access it and share it with other people that you think might benefit from it.
Great. Yeah.
I think that we've seen this and we've seen this a lot. We always say that in times of crisis, art just is what heals. Art is what gives us that space to dialogue, especially if you think about this film. I mean, it was terrible timing, right, for it to be released in a pandemic. But there's something beautiful about that, too, that during this time of tremendous anxiety and fear that you were able to create still and share that creation with other people is such an amazing thing and a testament to your resiliency. How do you feel like this documentary best supports others who might be going through some sort of chronic illness or injury?
So there is a lot of good advice in the film from many different people that are featured in it. Rebecca Skaldic is a therapist that I interviewed for the film. I interviewed her because she's also a child of disease. She, which just happened to be like, I found an article that she wrote for an online publication. When I was looking for people to be in the film, I found an article she wrote that was all about her experience growing up with a sick mom. So I knew she'd be perfect because now she's a therapist. She's qualified to, you know, give advice from a therapist standpoint, but she also has personal firsthand experience with what it's like to be in the kid's shoes and have a sick parent. So I think she gives a lot of great advice. She gives a lot of great advice for the person who's sick, for the parent who's sick, on how to deal with it, how to cope with it themselves. And also, I talked to her a lot about how parents can better notice things within their children. I think that's one of the biggest difficulties that parents often voice when they're sick or when their spouse has died or whatever the situation may be. They don't know how to tell if their kid's okay, and they feel lost about what to do or how to go about it. So I think that's one of the best things is just the advice that Rebecca gives, and then also the advice of the child life specialists at Wonders and Worries.
Absolutely. That's great. Do you feel like there have been other films like yours that have tried to capture parental illness, or do you feel like those resources really just didn't exist much?
Honestly, not that I know of. They might be out there, but I am not aware of them and I've never seen them.
And I'm sure it would have been incredibly beneficial to you at that time.
Yeah. And part of, and this is something that I hope to do, you know, throughout my life is kind of, you know, do more kind of academic level, scholarly level research on these situations and what goes on within them and how they impact people long term. One thing that I love about Wonders and Worries is they're doing clinical research and studies to prove that what they do helps, because so many people just think, the kids are fine. We don't need to spend money on this, or we don't need to put funding into this, or we don't need to focus on this. We don't need a program that provides support to the children of a sick person. Wonders and Worries is proving that these programs are important. They have a long-lasting positive impact on both the children and the parents. So I just think, yeah, there was nothing. There was nothing. And that's why I made the film. I was like, I can't find anything. I was like, is this real? Like, what is going on?
Outside of the pandemic, what other hurdles did you run into while you were trying to film?
Yeah, I hit a lot of hurdles. The first hurdle I hit actually really surprised me, but in retrospect, I'm not surprised at all knowing what I know now. But there was a book that I found that was one of the only books I could find that acknowledged what we're talking about here and what we're talking about in the documentary, that kids grow up with a sick parent and it impacts them mentally, impacts them physically. So I found a book and I was like, oh my God, this is the only book I can find. I have to talk to this person. Like, this person has to be in this film. They're one of the only people talking about this and knowledgeable about this. When I reached out to them, they initially agreed to talk to me. And then when we got on the phone, they basically just told me, I'm not interested. They just immediately shut me down. And their exact reasoning was that they felt that I was too close to the situation and that I wouldn't be able to be like non-biased. I think they were worried that I was going to make a film kind of blaming the parents, which absolutely never, never, never was my intention. The whole point is that these parents are out there on their own. They need help. So that was a big roadblock. And that really that kind of hurt my self-esteem a little bit going into it. I was like, oh my God. And that was partially why when I found Wonders and Worries and I started talking to Kim, I was like, okay, this is great. You know, because Kim was immediately so welcoming and so warm and so excited to be a part of this project. But yeah, so I went through a lot of roadblocks of just people misunderstanding what I was trying to do, which is funny because it further proves that there's no awareness for this issue. Because some people thought, oh, she's making a film about kids who are sick. Oh, she's making a film about how parents aren't doing a good job dealing with their kids when the parent is sick. You know, so much misunderstanding. So I rewrote the bio for the film probably like 20, 30 times. I consulted with writers. I was like, how do I explain to people what I'm doing? People are so confused by what I'm trying to do. They don't understand. And it was so hard to convey, this is what I'm focused on.
And again, you're right, further sending home the message that this needs to be represented and people need to gain that awareness that this is a very real issue and it needs support.
Yes.
So future endeavors, you are currently in a profession that it seems like you are adoring and loving and seeing the value in. Do you plan on making any other documentaries down the road, or do you feel like that was something you've done and now you're in a different chapter?
Yeah, so I'm a person that I like to do a zillion different things. I don't really like to do one thing. And I love going like from project to project to project. I enjoy that. That's part of what I love about like death doula work is, you know, there's always a new family. There's always a new person to help. And every situation is, they have similarities, but they're all different. So it kind of keeps me interested, keeps me focused. But I actually, as part of my work that I'm doing now as a death doula and want to continue to do in the future, I have returned to the college to study aging and death and just, you know, how we deal with these things. And so last semester for one of my classes, I actually made a short film and it's called Death is a Door. It's also available on YouTube for free to watch if anyone's interested in checking that out. And it's sort of a continuation of Children of Disease, but in a different direction. It's like a branching off from it. And like I said, it's called Death is a Door, and it focuses on a family member of mine, my great aunt Gail. Basically, I just interviewed her about her experiences with death in any capacity. So she's a very interesting woman. She has had a near-death experience herself where she was dead for a few minutes in the hospital before they revived her. And she's had cancer multiple times and beaten it multiple times. Her first husband died of cancer and she was his caregiver. Her second husband died of cancer as well and she was also his caregiver. So she has witnessed death in her, you know, she's held her loved ones as they've died. And she herself has kind of had this near-death experience. So I interviewed her just about aging, just about getting older, about dealing with being sick, and also about grief and death and, you know, what she thinks of death and just her philosophy around it. So that is one thing that I have done that's kind of connected to Children of Disease. And I do see myself in the future making more, because Children of Disease really was so emotional for me because it's my own story as well as other people's. So there was a lot that I would have loved to include that I just couldn't because it took on its own life. So I would love to, in the future, make a documentary or maybe a series of documentaries, you know, who knows what will happen, that focus more on like, I don't know, I guess like scientific side of it, the more clinical side of it, the more like these are hard facts and here's what we can do, you know, a more like almost like social justice kind of like, let's change this, you know, because I think Children of Disease does a really good job of doing what it does, which is, you know, draw attention to the issue, bring people together by saying, hey, you're not the only one experiencing this, but there's more. I feel like we can build on it. It's just like a foundation. So I definitely do see myself continuing to work toward the change that I want to see for kids who have a sick parent. And yeah, I don't know what form that will take exactly, but I do foresee, you know, a documentary or maybe a few, you know, maybe, you know, a book in the future is something I'm interested in. But yeah,
I will be excited to see that come into fruition because this is an amazing resource you've created. It directly supports our community of listeners. And so I love that for them and for us. Thank you for making such an awesome film.
Yes, no, thank you.
One last question, but it's kind of a two-person question for the creators or the people that are wanting to share their message. What advice do you have for somebody who is listening and trying to find an outlet to share their story, or they recognize a disparity in the information available and they think, wow, I'm a resource? What advice do you have for them about that creation and that process?
Oh, that's a great question. Just start doing it. Like, just start being an advocate for it. Just start talking about it. Whatever you're drawn toward, just follow that. Follow that interest that you have. There were so many reasons when I first got the idea for Children of Disease that I should have not done it. Like, there were so many reasons that I could have just walked away and not done it, not made the film. But like I said, there were so many roadblocks. People saying no to being in it, people misunderstanding what I was trying to talk about. Funding was a huge issue. That's why, like, you know, the film is incredibly low budget. I didn't have fancy audio equipment or fancy cameras. I, like, you know, I was just working with what I had. That's why, like, I often say to people, it feels like watching a home video. You know, like, it's very accessible. It's very, you know, it's not fancy. It's not an HBO documentary, you know. But so I would just say, like, don't let things hold you back. And even like in your own mind, if you're thinking like, oh, well, who am I to be the person bringing this to the forefront of people's minds? Or who am I to be talking about this? I'm not an expert, or I'm, you know, whatever thing you might have in your head holding you back. Don't listen to those thoughts. Just if you care about it and you're passionate about it, then let people see that passion and it will grow into something that you can be proud of. Children of Disease is by far the thing I'm the most proud of in my life that I've done. It's not perfect, and I'm a perfectionist, so that bothers me a lot. And like when I'm in situations where I have to, like if there's a screening going on somewhere, which there's been a few, there haven't been many because originally, you know, we had the COVID thing. But when I'm in a situation where I'm in a room full of people and they're watching the film that I made, I'm like, ugh, and like I'll leave the room a lot, and like, or like I'll notice something and I'll be like, oh, I should have fixed that, or oh, that's not perfect, or ooh. But like, you know, the imperfection is what makes it exactly what it was always meant to be. It's authentic, and it, you can tell that I just did it. I just did it. I just like had to, because I was in so much emotion and I just had to process it. Like you said before, like, you know, creating is a way to process things. So it helped me grieve. It helped me figure out what was going on for myself, and it helps other people figure out what's going on for them. So just, you know, just moving forward authentically, following your passion, and just not letting anything hold you back.
I love that. Okay. And then my last part of that question is for maybe our listeners that are in the thick of it, of their own illness or supporting somebody who is going through illness. What words do you have for them as adult now, but at the time, a child that had gone through that experience? Do you have any words of comfort or any advice for them to be attuned to?
For families out there who are similar to mine, families who, you know, you have one of the parents is sick, and, you know, maybe you've got a few kids of varying ages, even if they're adult children, you know, even like no matter what age the kids are, for any families that are like mine and the other families featured in the film, I would just say, talk to each other. That would be my biggest piece of advice. And that's so much of the work that I prefer to focus on as a death doula, is facilitating conversation. So often the pain of the situation And the anxiety of the situation, the fear gets us frozen. And then that leads to isolation. And we isolate ourselves from our own family members. And we don't mean to. And, you know, like the parents are afraid that the kids aren't okay. And the kids are afraid that the parents aren't okay. And there's no communication. And that just breeds more fear and more anxiety. And you've got enough of that already. I think so often people think, oh God, having a conversation, how do I do that? I don't know what to do. How do I even begin that? It doesn't have to be this great big thing. You know, just talking to each other is so important. And for the kids especially, I would say, like, don't be afraid to say to any adult that you feel comfortable saying it to, I am not okay. I know for me, when I was a kid going through this, I didn't want to be a burden. I felt like I shouldn't tell anybody that I'm not okay. And it got to the point where I couldn't even tell that I was not okay because I was hiding it even from myself. So just when you notice like, hey, I'm not hanging out with my friends anymore, or I'm not doing my homework. I don't want to leave the house. When I come home, I go in my room and I shut the door and I don't talk to anyone. Like, these are signs that something's going on, even if you aren't aware of it. So just talking to each other and noticing things about each other, being aware, don't let it go unacknowledged. I truly believe that things lose their power when you speak out loud about them. So like we have to talk out loud about this. If we don't talk about it, it will like literally suffocate us. And like that's so much of what happened to me and my family until we started talking about it. And we were forced to talk about it. Accidentally, I forced us to talk about it through making Children of Disease because I had to interview every single one of my family members. And then that got us talking. And it led to a lot of things that wouldn't have happened otherwise if I hadn't started facilitating those conversations. We don't want to leave anything unsaid. You don't want to feel like, oh, I should have said that, or I wanted to say this and I didn't. You know, if you have the opportunity to say something, say it. It is messy. It's messy. That's just the way it is. But it's not meant to be perfect. You just have to try. You just have to say it.
Thank you for tuning into our podcast today. Please subscribe and continue to check back as our content is ever evolving. For questions or specific content-related requests, please send an email to podcast@wondersandworries.org.